Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. When I was a younger man, a friend of mine, Kate Sims's, her dad would kind of hire me to drive his cars from Florida back to Connecticut when the seasons changed. He was very generous with me. He gave me, you know, money for obviously gas and all that, and a little bit extra to stop at hotels. But I had very little money at the time, so I wanted to conserve the money. And so I would find the cheapest motels possible, you know, highway rest stops, $22 a night. And then I'd drive up the street and I'd find a $19 a night one. And I would, but the $22 a night one was a little bit nicer. So I would go back to the...
Fewer pubic hair on the, pubic hairs on the pillow.
Yeah. Still quite a few, but you know. And I would go back and I would haggle with the, and this is like, they must have hated me. I mean, these proprietors who ran these places at like
proprietors
at like 2 and 3 in the morning, I'd be like, well, you know, that guy is actually charging 22 for the come on in motel. That guy is 19. And can you give me this one for 19 or 18 even? And sometimes they would. I would get like that kind of deal. Christian and I should have prefaced by saying we come from a family that cuts a lot of coupons.
Don't bring me into this. You are your mother's son.
She's a coupon cutter. Coupon?
Coupon.
Coupon. Here's the show.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
You're listening to Life is Short. I'm your sometimes quite frugal host.
Thrifty.
Thrifty. Okay, almost a cheap.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
And with me, as always, is my less thrifty, but you got your
but
hands
still,
down.
But still thrifty.
Uh-huh. You know the value of a dollar.
I sure appreciate
the value.
A value of a poo dollar.
Yeah. That might not make sense for people who don't know your Instagram handle. We grew up, our mom was very conscientious about spending money. She, to the point where we've talked about this before, she'll go to 2 or 3 different grocery stores to buy 2 or 3 different ingredients for a meal.
The craziest
depending
part
on which where it's cheaper.
The craziest obviously. Part of that story of like the $19 hotel room story.
That's nice of you to call it a story.
It's a story. There's a beginning, middle, and end. The craziest part of that story to me is that, relatively speaking, you have a lot of money now, relative to then and relative
yes.
to the population
yes.
of this country. And I wouldn't be that shocked
if
you pulled a move like that now.
Yeah, you know,
not a $22, $19
right.
move.
I've gotten more precious.
But like $150, $120 move.
For
you would
sure.
Call.
Oh, yeah.
Why are we talking about you being cheap and being a young driver, a baby driver, if you will?
Our guest today was one of the stars of Baby Driver, Edgar Wright's Baby Driver. What a great movie. Our guest today is Asa Gonzalez.
Is it Asa or Asa?
Well, you know, she's a friend of mine, and she was here for a couple days hanging out. In fact, we did the interview with her. It's the first guest we've had in the podcast room. It was
yes.
very exciting. But
she took my seat.
Yeah, she did. Yeah,
did we look different?
Slightly. It was Christian's making a face. And even you don't even need to make that face to look like radically different. Yeah, you look quite different. But for some reason, I couldn't get a grasp on how exactly to pronounce her name. And it was like, do you ever have those moments where it's like, oh, well, it's Umami. Oh, you mean Umami? No. Umami.
Yes.
Umami.
Yes.
No. Umami.
To her, you're saying it completely wrong.
It sounded exactly right. So I'd be like, how exactly do you say it? She was like, it's Ace. And she has such a great – I mean, she
Asa.
Rolls – she has like
Asa.
Rolling her R's.
I'm only asking if it's a Z sound or
no,
a
No, it's supposed
sound.
To be
– So I thought, Asa.
She's like, think about it like this, like Asa. Like Asa.
Well, you know what it is? It's E-I-Z-A. So if in Spanish, the
exactly.
way you pronounce the little Spanish I know.
She explained this.
The vowels, it's A-E.
Yeah,
so
A-E.
E is pronounced A.
Asa.
And I is pronounced E. Asa.
I think it's Asa.
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 Okay. All yeah. right. Well, I'm glad we got that clarity.
But she responds to Asa. I had been calling her Asa. My favorite nickname for her, which Maggie came up with, is Easy G.
Easy G.
Because you hang out with her and you realize that's very fitting. There's something very easy about hanging
yeah,
out with her.
Yeah, she came to our town and we all hung out and we went to a Bill Burr outdoor, socially distant, stand-up comedy show, which was so fun.
So fun.
And we all had a great time. And we had a great time getting to know her. I had never met her, and she was really fun to hang out with. And
yeah, we hadn't really hung out with another person in this environment during...
It was weird. I felt I haven't been social in... God, it feels like... Well, it has been a long time.
It has been a long time.
6 months.
But like, this is her real charm, is that she was able to blend in into an environment like this, which is unique, so like effortlessly. And I've seen her then in much different environments. I actually met her on a field trip with a group, we'll talk about it, called This Is About Humanity. We went to the border. We went to bring food and kind of cheer to like kids stuck in detention centers at
mirth?
The border. Mirth. Yeah, dare I say, we brought some mirth.
I wonder what the word
Tijuana.
For mirth in Spanish is.
I wish I knew. Feliz is happy. Contenta is... I don't know.
Oh, that Duolingo is really paying
Shut
off
up.
For you.
It was, you know, it was, speaking of Duolingo, I had a little bit of pride. I was getting a little prideful about learning. You know, I'm learning the basics of Spanish, and then having Asa around was like
Asa
around was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know anything. And the way she also speaks fast for...
Well,
was,
you're about to hear how fast she
Oh,
speaks.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
But anyway, This Is About Humanity was a day that we went, and that's where I met her. And she was so fun. Such a fun person to be around. Very bright, like fascinatingly bright, the way she's... her grasp of language and how intuitive she is.
So if you haven't seen Baby Driver, you should. But you might also know her from Hobbs and Shaw.
Is it Hobbs and Shaw?
I believe so.
Shaw
what
and
you
Hobbs.
Think it was? I think it's Hobbs and Shaw. It's the spinoff of Fast and Furious.
Oh, I'm thinking of Calvin and Hobbes.
It's not Calvin and Hobbes.
No, it's...
She was also in the TV version From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yes, and she... which makes sense, because she bears, I would say, a fairly striking resemblance to Salma Hayek, who was...
They do resemble each other.
Well, I mean, especially when she was sitting here, part of her face was obscured. Anyway, we get...
Well, she looks more like Salma Hayek than I look like Salma Hayek. Is that fair to say?
That's such an understatement. Yeah, that's fair. I would accept that. And if you don't know her now, she's in all of these big movies coming out. And by the way, you're about to get to know her.
She's on the precipice.
And she's just one of my favorite people. I can't wait for you all to meet, if you don't know her already, the lovely, charming, very funny, Aissa Gonzalez.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboo.
For all the shorties that want voluminous, fanned-out lashes, This ad is for you. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume. Their tapered brush catches every single lash, even those pesky corner lashes. You know who you are, corner lashes. With the Panorama Mascara, you'll easily achieve that effortless, false lashes look. It's one of Christian's favorite looks. Plus, it lasts up to 24 hours and is clump and flake resistant. And just when you thought it couldn't get better, it does. The Panorama Mascara is a lot more affordable than other luxe mascaras. And honestly, it probably does a better job. It's affordable, but it's deceptive because it comes in a premium gold luxe packaging. So if you want a mascara that can do it all, volumize, lengthen, and stay put all day, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. As a podcast listener, I'm sure you know that audio piques the imagination, like especially this show. So if you really want to feel like you're in the story, check out Audible's collection of brand new exclusive thrillers.
Their titles feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. So you'll be kept on the edge of your seat.
Here's an interesting psychological thriller that is out right now. It's an Audible original. It's called Oracle. It follows an FBI psychic who can help solve missing person cases when he touches those close to the victims. But of course, it comes at a cost. He'll see the horrific moments before the victims disappeared.
Shorties, I just got chills. You have to listen along with me. You don't have to.
No.
But I think you should.
Yeah, it'd be fun. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/long or text long to 500-500. That's audible.com/long or text long to 500-500.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up and we'll meet again.
what was the first time you were like, I want to do this. I want to be a performer.
It all started with singing. It was definitely my first love. And singing was part
like
of like...
Singing around the house?
Yeah, like I would sing around the house a lot, and my dad picked up on it. And my dad was actually a good singer.
Oh, yeah? Ever do anything perfect?
No, he just was a good singer. Oh, he had a good ear, and he loved music, like very well-versed in the music world. It was fun, and that's how I became like an... I love 80s music, 70s music is my favorite, 60s. But long story short, that's how it started. And then very publicly known, my dad passed away when I was young. And my mom started putting me in all these extracurricular classes. And one of them was musical theater, which made sense for her.
Oh, you hadn't done that before?
Never. Never acted. Never acted before.
Wow.
And so she just had me gymnastics, dancing classes, like 24-7.
To focus on,
yeah, just mentally busy so I wouldn't, you know, get depressed. And she, one of those was musical theater. And it was weird, Justin. It was, I mean, I guess not weird. It just felt like... And I look back at it, and I remember, because I sat my mom down, and I was like, I need to have a very serious conversation with you. She's like, about what? And I'm like,
well, I like you as a kid sitting her down.
Imagine 12. Yeah. And I was like, I don't have to look no more. This is what I want to do for a living. And I think that mom, it was such a wild, I mean, I couldn't imagine being her, you know, just sitting there and being like, okay.
Right, I wonder what
do you know about life? But I feel like, luckily for me, my mother was just so sad and wanted me to be happy that she kind of did things that I would look, if I look back, I'm like, how the hell did she do that? Like, I wouldn't have allowed my kids. Like, she let me drop out of school. She let me be homeschooled.
At what age? At 12?
12.
That takes a lot of, and
my dad passed away at 12, and 13, like at 14, I dropped out of school.
It's not like your mom was, I mean, you were telling me the other day, she's not in any way like a stage mom or like pushy at all. This was your doing then.
It was my total doing. If anything, I was the one pushing her, poor woman.
Oh my God.
But she, you know, she came to see me in my show. I remember we did Grease. And
in your school.
Yeah, and like that musical thing that I was doing. It was a summer camp. She came to see me and she was just really moved. And I don't know, man, I've not been a mom.
You were Sandy?
So I have no. No, I was never the good girl.
Oh, you were the.
Rizzo,
of course.
Yeah, I was Rizzo. And till the day. But yeah, so she just, you know, she lit up and she saw that I was the happiest she'd ever seen me. And so she just rolled with it and she said, the moment that you want to jump off the wagon, we're off. Like, you don't feel obligated for me or anybody. No one ever has to force you to do anything you don't want to do.
This was purely because you were dealing with, it was in the wake of this awful thing in your life. And so, like, if anything brings you joy, it makes sense that she would want to foster that thing that brings you joy.
Yeah.
Because it was probably so needed.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. It's always interesting to hear child star stories, right?
Yeah.
Because there's like the successful ones or the non-successful or whatever people consider the non-successful, right? Because it runs the gamut. As you and I have both been in the industry, you can come in like, oh, so well put together, and then it can go sideways. Like, there's no right or wrong, especially in the arts, especially in the world, especially with children.
But I would say that the majority, the stories don't end that well with kids who have success at that age.
Yeah.
For whatever. I mean, we get into all the reasons for
yeah, but and like, that was something that I really look back at, and I always try to credit my family and my mother and my brother, and honestly, even till the day that my dad was alive, how they raised me and the values and morals that they really embedded in me, and they just stuck. And, you know, I was already a very responsible young girl. I gotta say, like, I do have to credit at least myself on that, because that was my success. It's like, okay, if I get to work and then I am independent and
she
I am responsible,
yeah,
and she doesn't have to wake me up to go to work and be responsible, she has one less thing to worry about, because she had a lot in her hands.
And what was she doing? That she was running the agency?
Yeah, she was running the agency, but, you know, she was left with everything that my dad left behind. So she had to figure out her company, his company, debts, work, being a single mom of two, getting everything done. And you know, she was just...
She was overwhelmed. Herself. I bet. Yeah, it's her husband. Yeah,
and it was, you know, it was hard for her.
How quickly do you become so successful that you're traveling around and you're known? Like, how does that happen?
It was wild, man. It was quick. It was really quick, and I was so not ready for it. And it's both a blessing and a curse because it was incredible. I was able to, you know, keep my mind busy and excited. And as I was telling you, right, that we were talking about a control and having control over my life because my dad passed in a motorcycle accident. So that was a complete loss of control. So all I wanted to do is have control in my life. And being an actress really was, life was letting me have my own blocks and building blocks. So that was really healthy mentally. But at the same time, I was just so scared, so fragile, so not ready to be propelled into everyone else's opinion of you. Also, people don't know. Yeah.
Adolescence during a time where it's like,
and grieving.
And you're playing a character, a part. You told me that you compared it to kind of like you were Hannah Montana in Latin America.
Yeah.
And which is buoyant and upbeat. And I'm, you know, like you said, a role model. Like, it's somebody that kids immediately gravitate toward.
Yeah. And that was so scary because you're a child yourself. So you're like, you don't even know who you are.
Is there anyone around you, like a manager or somebody who's like directing that persona?
My mom was just very, well, yes. You were part of a machine.
A little package.
You're a little part of a machine. Yeah. Like, I remember they signed me for, at the time, nothing because I was unknown. So there was hundreds
and hundreds.
Were they
seeing you at like a talent show?
No, so I went to a school, an acting school, which was inside like a lot, like inside of Warner Brothers, let's say. And it was like a soap opera place. And it was, the guy that produced it had just done a super highly successful soap opera called Rebelde. And it was massive. Like, everyone grew up. It was like our version of Saved by the Bell. He was a humongous producer at the time. And he was looking for the new girl for his new show. And I was honestly, Justin, I mean, I am at the time 14. I'm not thinking, oh, I want to be a star. I'm just happy to be here.
You know, I'm in school. Doing a fun activity, yeah.
And so it was really, you know, you've gotten to know me and you know me pretty well because we've been friends and for a while. And the thing was like, I was always this upbeat and I would be dancing and singing on the walking to like lunch and I'd be like belting and like laughing with my cackle. And I always had that personality.
It's amazing that you maintain that in the wake of such a horrific thing that you were able to be that person.
Well, I was just happy to be here. You know, I was just like, wow, I'm chasing my dreams. This is amazing. Life has there's a silver lining. Like, that was the attitude. It was very, if you look back at it, like, I look back at myself, I'm like, oh, a little hug to that girl. Because she was just like trying to push through. And I would walk, the lunch place was like three buildings away from the building that we went to school. And we would always see him. His name was Pedro Damián. It was like, oh my God.
What is it?
Pedro Damián. Because he was the guy that created, like, the big teen successes at the time.
God, you talk fast. You speak Spanish fast. We were saying the other day. Pedro Damián. God, wow.
Yeah. And so he saw me. I was walking down singing, and, like, he saw me a couple of times.
You're singing
a
little
louder
when you're passing him? Oh, no.
I was singing all the way. Always so loud. Always, like, I mean, me on, like, steroids right now. He saw me, and then I, like, got an audition, and then I got, and he went
Did he come
search.
Right up to you?
No. It was, like, a general, like, never personally. No.
Yeah, that's creepy.
And it was massive. It was, like, a search for 7 months, and I auditioned for, like, seven, 8 months.
Oh,
and at
my
the time,
God.
I was just like, oh, I'm going to get a little role in the soap opera. This is amazing. Yeah. I was so excited. You never knew what you were auditioning for.
Oh, interesting. Because soap operas there are huge still, right? Like, huge.
But this was, like, different to, like, regular soap operas. It was like, you know, like, when you hear Disney searches, like, that kind of vibe. It was like...
Saved by the Bell makes sense. That's a good frame of reference.
Millions of kids coming in and millions of kids from every...
Cattle calls.
It was cattle calls for sure. So I had, honestly, dude, I had no idea. I, first of all, never thought I was going to get anything.
So do you remember being like nervous or how did you feel?
I was not, because I honestly was in the, it was like in the early 2000s. So like the beauty standards and the looks of standard, like, was not who I was. So I never thought,
you were
oh,
even
I'm
in the
gonna
running.
Get it. Yes.
You didn't think you were in the
I was like, I'm gonna get one of the roles, because it was like there's a lot of kid roles. There was a lot of roles in the soap opera.
I'll get the like buoyant happy go lucky chubby
role.
And I
was
role.
So happy. Yeah. I was really excited to just do that. And I remember they took a picture of me and they released it, and then it was like boom, like if I was thrown into a different stratosphere. It was the weirdest thing. I went from complete, never had done any job in my life. Not like a small role here, nothing.
Well, you did Grease. You played Rizzo in school production, Grease. So you were ready.
Production with three parents.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Each of our parents was there. and so I was not ready, Justin. Everyone had an opinion of me. If I was good, not good, great, talented, not talented, pretty, not pretty.
Oh, the looks thing must have been for a kid your age. I can't imagine
And, you know, I was a normal girl. I had a normal body. I had like 14-year-old girl body. I was like chubby in the cheeks, chubby, didn't wear makeup. Like, I didn't care.
It's probably actually good for kids to see that. I mean, you must have been, like, in that sense, a good role model, unless they made you, like, lose weight.
It was great. But then, you know, it wasn't like it is now, which I really feel so happy that this has changed.
Yeah.
Because body shaming was just so not like, it was really overlooked. People would do it all the time. Press would do it all the time. And no one would call the press doing that. So every time was like, it was weird. It was weird. And it really created a dysmorphia with who I was supposed to be. Because the truth of the matter is I went through a really deep depression when my dad died, and I gained aggressive amount of weight from depression, because I went through like 12 to 13 eating. I started eating compulsively. And my mom, who at the time, you know, she owned a model agency. Yeah. Unlike people's opinion or thoughts of what she did, she never brought awareness to, like, you're gaining weight or you're never. Mm. Like, she just never mentioned it. She let me be. She was working on my emotions in a different way, but she never made a point of like looks or how I should look or should I lose weight or should I, never. I went from being completely unaware of these things.
To like hyper aware.
To insanely aware.
Oh my God.
Like day to night, like that, 360.
What does that feel like? What does that do to you as a kid, 15-year-old?
Well, that makes me never want to have children in the industry. Listen, it was a wild times. And then also at the same time, I was like singing in the hallways, but I never sang in front of a stage, so I didn't even know how it worked. I know what an in-ear was. I didn't have training. I was like a normal girl that had like some here and there talents, but I didn't have training.
As far as most people know, I've been with you to Mexico. I've seen how people react to you. The kids know you. You are known as that person by most people. So that's.
And you want to live up to that, because you want to live up to who they are. I had this conversation with someone recently about, like, I remember the moment that glass shattered for me.
You
know, the famous glass shattering for, like, child stars towards adults.
I mean, publicly?
When people are like, oh.
It's not her.
This is not her.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember how it started happening, and it's scary, like, I love to talk about this because it brings awareness to mental health and like all these things of like, you know, you always hear like, well, you're a public person, this comes with your job or like these things, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't really
think. That's what you signed up for.
Yeah. You don't really think about like the traumas going through your head, because it feels like, oh, wow, I built up to this. I worked so hard. I've put my life into like being this persona and living up to what people want, because the 2-year-old kid who saw me, this is the idea. So I have to be happy all the time and smiling. And
you have a responsibility to all of these people, to countries.
And you do one thing
and it breaks it.
And then you are like a pointed finger at you, like being like, bad girl.
Doesn't that reveal, I mean, now you know, like you know how fickle that, it reveals how fickle that celebrity is, that like persona, whatever that is, that image that people have.
It's not real.
It's not real, yeah.
It is real because it's a version of who you were. Uh-huh. And I think that's what really has stuck with me throughout years, is how till the day people still hold who I was at 15.
It's crazy, yeah.
It's half of my life. It's literally 15 years ago, I was 15. And still is like, you don't look like you did, or you don't act like you did, or you don't behave like you did, and all these things.
A kid.
It's like, why are we living, why are we not allowing people to become who they were? And this is the other thing. If I like vented everyone's problems or mistakes throughout those years or their lives, we all
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
That's the truth. You got to think these are high school years. Right. Like if people start, like what the cool kids in school say, now amplified to everyone on planet Earth.
There was a thing when I was in college, the first time I ever encountered anything like tabloids or anything, it was called the gossip servers. It was the very first. There were gossip servers, and they just talked about gossip on the campus. This is like a small liberal arts school, 2,000 people. But I used to look at that and think, like, whenever I'd see my name in a top 10 good or bad, I'd be like, oh, whoa, they're talking. There's something, I remember feeling a little charge, a little surge of like, a little serotonin burst where my ego was excited by that, by being talked about. And then people say bad things. And then that's who's, I invested in it. Yeah. And there were moments in my career, and I'm sure you can commiserate, where like, if someone says a bad review, you read a bad review, or even like idiots on social media saying things like, I invest in those things sometimes.
Yeah. And you know,
how do you not? I mean, what's
honestly,
the trick?
I've indulged in it on the other side, like as an audience, right? Like I remember when, you know, public breakups and you're like, I'm assuming all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
No idea.
I know.
Like I've seen
it. I'm such a little gossip queen sometimes. We're like, did you hear the news?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And then you like, we are all guilty of it. I'm not guilting people for doing that because, you know, whoever designed us decided to put that weird morb in us that we want.
You know
to,
what's
like,
weird?
Know.
You know, I'm reading this book, Sapiens, and it's about.
So good, Yuval. So good. Yeah, so good.
Yeah, so well, they talk about that, how like how we survived Homo sapiens versus erectus. Yep. And it's because one theory is that like, we were just more prone to gossip.
Yep.
And it was we were able to congregate in larger groups.
In groups and create your like clique.
Gossip
basically.
Was very important to our survival. It's in our it's in our like DNA.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, but it makes sense.
It's like a gathering thing. Like so many people gather to gossip. And like I get it, right? I get it. There is this dissociation that happens and it's weird. I like would be interested to see what actually chemically happens to your brain because you know, there's stories that you and I have talked about, like, I'll tell you about my one relationship, and it's like this whole story, and then you hear what's out there, and it's such a different story, and then people have opinion about that story, and then you start kind of believing it, and like, wait a second, I know the real story.
Of course.
Happening? It's a dissociation
that
happens.
That's
it's
difficult
crazy.
For me, because I want, talk about control, we're talking about control a lot, and like, I want to, at the very least, be able to control if there's an untruth out there that is painting me.
I struggle with it. That's what I've cried over the most, I think. I've not cried about like what people have to say about me, my looks, but like false narratives about me is what's really gotten me good because, you know.
Because that reflects on your parents then.
Thank you. That's exact. I have such a high regard of my parents. Like, they did, man. Like, they did. I have nothing bad to say about them. And they were incredible parents, luckily. Because I know that, you know, that's not always the case. Yeah. And so I am grateful for that. And one thing I can be anything. People can say anything about me. But my values and my morals is something that I hold on to dearly. Like, and that's part of why I never did drugs, right? Like, it was something that I knew that if I were to try them, like,
to me,
It was scary. It was scary because I was like, maybe it'll turn me into something that I might lose that. And that's something that I couldn't. It goes back to control. When I started working, my work became my sacred grounds where like I could actually be fully who I was because it's like I whatever thought my persona is this. And I had put so much work into it.
Wait, what do you mean you could fully be yourself? It was like a refuge for, I mean, I know it was a thing that you channeled so much into to get away from something.
Yeah.
But how?
Because I started finding myself through the arts, right? Uh-huh. Like I hadn't been able to like sleep, cry for 4 years over my dad's death. And slowly the arts started allowing me to do that.
Oh, wow.
Then I started discovering that persona was not who I was also gave me knowledge of who I was.
Oh, that makes sense.
So there was all these learning things that came with, but I've always been who I've been from day zero. Like the same Aza from day one is the same Aza now. And so when I had the transition to come to America, that was very scary because it was like uncharted territories. And I just got involved in situations that were so not a reflection of who I was.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do, 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 do,
shaboom. Hiring? Well, with Indeed, your search is over because you can get rid of the search and just match. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. That's because Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. It's constantly learning from your preferences. Basically, the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/long. Just go to Indeed.com/long right now and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/long. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Want to hear a really satisfying sound? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language this year, it'll be one of your favorite sounds too. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. With Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 200 language experts, you can start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I've been loving learning Spanish because I love traveling to Spanish-speaking countries, and I just want to be better at communicating with the people. I love the people there, and I want to be able to get to know them better. I also love the food, so I'd like to be better at ordering food so I don't order the wrong thing. They teach you very practical, real-world language skills. And here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/long. Get 55% off at babbel.com/long, spelled B-A-B-B-E-L.com/long. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up, we'll meet again.
You had all this success in this huge part of the world, Latin America. I mean, even though you had that and you're being celebrated and I'm sure people recognizing you and stuff, you have that experience that the very few people have. You still looked at America as like, well, that's where it really
No. Oh, no. My story to coming to America is crazy. It's not even, I never thought.
What did you think
I
of America then?
I never planned on it. Uh-huh. So I didn't plan on it.
But what was your perception of America
then? And it was not a real thing because the only person that had crossed over Latina in the last 30 years had been Selma.
Oh, my God.
So there was no reference. There was zero reference. Selma, there was no reality of like, that's a possibility. Oh. I mean, we had Alejandra. We had a couple of really incredible actresses. But
who
not
are you gonna
like
say Alejandro? What?
No, we had like a bunch of actresses. Uh-huh. Like
I just like hearing you say.
We have Alejandro. We had men, but we really didn't have women. And so to me growing up, I was just happy to be here. Like I was happy to be working in Mexico. I wasn't looking to like leave my country and go to America. Never. And no, I don't know if I've ever even talked about this. So the way that it happened for me.
Scoop on like
I know.
Short.
The way that it happened for me is bananas. So I was in a relationship at the time, and I was really heartbroken, and it was just the one thing, and I think this is a great thing to say because it also adds to why I never, and I've always been so publicly private about my personal life, is I did that mistake once, and I will never do it again. I was very public with a boyfriend in Mexico. And
when you were, what, 19, 20?
Yeah, like around that age. And, you know, because you're, like, trying to appeal to society, because everyone's like, she's going to be a society. You're, like, a mess at that age. Jesus.
Wait, what do you want to show them that you're in this good relationship?
Yeah, I'm in a good relationship. I'm happy. I'm a good girl. Look.
And you have this pressure of what people thought about you.
Yeah, she's great. Look, a Prince Charming. It's just all wrong. Uh-huh. You're just, like, floating. You're trying to float. You're trying to stay afloat. Yeah. And long story short, our relationship started because of I opened that door. Then press started to lie a lot about our relationship. I just want to say this. Relationships are not that juicy. Like, you know this. So all these juicy stories about, like, drama were being sold that weren't true. And it was really depressing me because this is such a poor reflection of who I am. But I also have to not address it because if I address it, I'm playing into it. And so what's the,
you stuck?
What's
what do
the
you do?
Line?
Yeah.
You don't do anything. You fall into depression because it's like this persona being sold of who you are versus who you really are. And so I left. I couldn't do it, dude. I was overwhelmed. I just couldn't.
You left Mexico entirely?
So I grabbed a bag, and my friend at the time was renting this little room in the back of a super cool landscaping woman. This is way before Airbnb. Airbnb didn't exist. It was like random.
It's Airbnb was like, hey, do you mind if I crash
on you? But I didn't know this person. And so my friend was like, I'm in New York at the time. You should just stay at that little room I'm renting at this lady's house. So then I moved, and I spent a week and a half depressed in that room crying. I was so depressed. And I went to LA because, you know, I always had some kismet feeling with LA because I liked music. I grew up going to the Warped Tour and like I liked,
you did?
I felt like very rock star glamour. Like I was more into being a rock star than really an actress at a point in my life.
And was there any crossover with that? Was there like an element of that in what you did as a singer, like touring around? What was the name of this?
It was just Lola. And Lola. Then it was like, yeah, I did a couple of things, but no, I never really did.
It was more Disney-ish. It was more like upbeat, like kid poppy stuff.
Yeah, it was girly, nothing that I sang ever.
It wasn't Warped Tour.
That's why I hate when people are like, I want to listen to your music. It's like, not that that was great, but it's nothing. It's not me.
You don't have a personal connection to it. Yeah, yeah.
It's not even my choice of voice, my choice. Anyway.
Yeah.
The whole point being is I moved to this place and I was depressed and my mom.
A week in LA.
A week in LA, just sitting in a room. I wouldn't leave it. I would like order Subway and then go and lock myself in the room.
Really?
It was crazy.
What was your sandwich of choice? I think everyone wants to know.
Turkey. I love a turkey. Oh, yeah. Pepper jack. Love pepper jack. A lot of Chipotle.
So far, that's the first thing we have in common.
Yeah. We have a lot of things in common.
I'm about to see your story.
So then...
so you call your mom?
My mom would call me. She's lovely. And she was just like, how you doing? I'm like, I'm fine. I'm just depressed. And she was like, I don't want you to be depressed. I heard about something called IMDb Pro. And I'm like, what is that, mom? I saw you have a profile and some person's name underneath it as your team. And she's like, I'm just going to put my email. And like, maybe you can go to auditions. And I was like rolling my eyes back.
That's right, because she's a manager.
Hard. Yeah, but she wasn't at the time.
Uh-huh. She knew, but she didn't know about
my mom. I mean, I've always been like, you know, technology, introducing my mom, like, this is what happened. So she had no idea. Wow, so the fact that she knew, it meant that she did a big effort to make me happy, which makes it even sweeter.
Wow.
And she's like, I'm going to enroll you. Sure. And so she's like, you have an audition. I got an audition. I was like, cool. So then she's like, you're going to go. I'm like, what is it for?
How long after? I'm curious.
Like a week.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is it for? And then, by the way that they audition America is completely different to the way we audition. Oh. We do chemistry tests in Mexico. Like, that's all the type of auditions we do.
Oh, that's
it's always with other people. It's never like with you in a random room and a camera.
Great. It's occasionally, like we should say, occasionally like that in America. If you get close enough to the job, then you start reading with the actor.
But that's how you do from the get-go in Mexico. Wow. So you're always with an actor. So I never had read with someone like... Yeah, I'm so sad. Yeah. So I was so confused. I was so... I spoke English, but not as well as I do now. It was all scary. I had to memorize English in my second language, whatever. So I go, don't think much of it. Then I did another, and then they call me again, and they call me again. And so, long story short, I like had a couple of callbacks, and then eventually didn't get it. And then found out that the whole time I was auditioning for Star Wars.
No kidding.
The whole time.
Oh my God.
And
Wars? What year was it?
The Force Awakens.
Oh my God. That's to me seems like, it was a couple years ago. So
it was a long time ago.
It was. Jesus.
It was.
Time is going by.
And I mean, I want to make sure to say
For Adam Driver's part?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was not like on the top, nothing. I was just auditioning. And it was fun. And then when I found out it was like for that, I was like, oh my God, that was crazy. That happened.
Oh, it makes sense that they gave, because that's what they did. I'm not telling you. I'm telling you that they do that for like top secret, really like top secret, like Star Wars. Yeah. They don't want this side. They're very protective.
And they don't tell you what it's for either.
Script. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then I grabbed my bags and went back to Mexico. And then one day...
I didn't get Star Wars.
Yeah, I didn't get Star Wars, but it was fine. I was just like, that was a great moment in life, and I will always remember it. Goodbye, going back to my country.
But did you feel better at that point? You felt like you were now...
It gave me some motive, and gave me drive. And I was like, oh, this is cool. It just motivated me again, which is what my mom was wanting to do.
Yeah.
And then one day I was in the middle of a bridal shoot I will never forget. I was in the middle doing this cover for a magazine as a bride. It was weird now that I think of it. And then I get a phone call. I had a flip phone that I had bought in like a 7-Eleven.
Mm-hmm.
And it rang. And they're like, hi, this is, by the way, shout out to Mary Vernou.
Oh, yeah.
This is Mary Vernou. And I was like, who? She's like, I'm Mary Vernou. I'm a casting director. Mary who? And she's like, oh, nice to, I was so, oh my God, nice to meet you. Hi, hi, how are you? She's like, hi, can you audition for this thing? And we'll send you sides, but we need them today.
Wow. And I was I got to step just to let people know that Mary Verneuil is one of the biggest casting directors.
She gave me my break. Yeah. Love her to death.
And did she get your number from IMDb then?
I don't know. I'm guessing.
Wow.
I'm guessing.
Unless, why would that be? Whatever.
I don't know. But anyway, she got the number. She called. She sent the sides. And then I remember being in the bridal shoot. And then I asked the people from the shoot if they could stop it for like 40 minutes. And I had gone in sweatpants, so like I took my makeup artist shirt, and then I had the bridal dress underneath.
Oh, that's funny.
So they framed it up. Yeah, it was so funny. They framed it up on like my face, and I read off a page. I was like didn't have time to memorize it, so I read it, and then whatever, sent it.
To tape it to tape the audition?
To tape the audition. So I was reading off the page, which I learned briefly after I would never do again.
Yeah.
But anyway, I did. I sent it, and then the next day they're like, "Oh, can you come fly into LA? There's this director wants to audition you," and it was Robert Rodriguez.
Did they tell you it was Rodriguez on the phone then?
Yeah.
And did you know who he was?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he must have been huge.
And so I was really nervous. So I flew to LA, then auditioned with Zane, who was the lead actor of the show, and then the next day. They're like, Robert wants to read you again. And then the other day, he sent me the picture, the first picture he ever took of me. I'll show it to you. It's crazy. It's like a whole other person.
So you're 20 at the time.
I'm like, no, I was like 22 at this point. And he's like, it's you. You're moving to Austin. Well, let's go. And that's how I came to America.
Wow. And of all places, I mean, people are sick of hearing me talk about how much I love Austin. But what a great
city. Happiest years of my life. I was so happy. It was my first job in English ever. I'd never worked in English.
To me, you told me the other day that, I mean, we were talking to Maggie. She's going to hate that I say this. And you were like, we were kind of teasing her about how she says the word S-A-W, Saul.
Yeah,
she says Saul.
Saul.
And it was just a surreal moment where Ace was like,
it's Saul.
It's Saul, don't you know? Second
language.
The Mexican.
But it was.
What are the different, like, what's the first thing that you notice between shooting in Mexico?
Oh my God, dude, it's a whole different world. It's unbelievably different. First of all, I was shooting 36 scenes a day in Mexico. So I'm on that track, you know? I'm like used to like,
one take. They don't do two takes.
They don't. Two tops.
Do you read teleprompter?
No, I would memorize. And I was lucky
enough
to be few.
That's why you're so good at it.
Yeah, I was lucky of the few because soap operas do use...
Pieces.
The pieces, which is, by the way...
Like an earpiece.
Yeah. They tell you the lines in your ear to repeat them, which is crazy. I don't know.
I did a hosting job once where I did that and was like, yeah, it's really weird.
It just gives you like... It gave me dissociate.
Yeah, of course.
Like when I'm speaking, I would
we can't be
say
present.
Words wrong. It's weird.
Yeah, weird, yeah.
But,
wow.
So we would do 36 scenes a day. I worked 12 months a year.
Wow.
Like,
oh, yeah, there. Oh,
no,
that's
breaks,
right.
No vacations, one day off, like 7 days a week. It's just.
There aren't. We have. Yeah, SAG and AFTRA are really. They're strong unions. They're good unions. So we have. I talked to a Japanese actor friend of mine who said, "I just took it for granted that we have these. There are these regulations in place, and so it must have been a welcome change. It must have been nice for you.
It was so nice, and then it was also like scary because it kind of raised the stakes because it's like, so we're zeroed into one thing. So performance really matters. So then I remember, like, I look back at some of that stuff is so bad. It's like I'm so overacting, overpronunciating words because I'm so nervous of like not sounding American, and I felt like I had to. It was like a lot of lessons learned
but
in that TV show.
Were you playing a Latina character?
Yeah, but I spoke mostly in English.
Oh.
So I had some lines in Spanish, but it was mostly in English.
We should tell people just it's From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen the movie, Salma Hayek plays an exotic dancer.
Exotic dancer.
Who then turns into, spoiler alert, a vampire. But so she danced with, I remember the scene. Everyone remembers. Hot-blooded American boy remembers the snake
Talk
scene.
About trying to like live up to that.
Oh, yeah, because that's an iconic scene where she's dancing with the snake.
I didn't live up to it. I can accept it fully, which is fine. I tried my best. I was so lucky that was my introduction to, I've heard, you know, some horror stories, and mine was the opposite. I had the best director. I love Robert. Like,
so Robert directed
dearly.
All the episodes, or he was the showrunner?
He was the creator, producer, and he directed most episodes.
I want to see that show.
And, I mean, Yeah.
I'd be into it. I love the movie.
I was terrible. I was really bad.
When you say, how would you describe that?
Well, because it's crazy to see, like, you've auditioned with me. You've helped me with a couple of stuff.
You're great and natural. But I say that only because I look back at some of the stuff I did early on, like, even stuff that people keep watching, which is painful, or I like horror movies that are like, and I see them and I'm like, oh, I cringe because I
just grown, then I think. To that, the like second language and like learning how it works in America. And coming off of soap operas, so it was like a little bit too much. I was pushing way too far.
You were waiting for the like,
cringe, so cringe. I was really cringe.
Well, how would Robert direct you then from breaking those? How would he help you break those instincts?
He was great because he would just be very cool about it. He wouldn't make me feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. He would just be like, yeah, try this. And then I would be like, sure. And the attitude was everything.
That
it was
helped
really,
you be more casual.
Yeah. And then, you know, he was very helpful to start finding myself as an actress. And then, sure enough, right after that, I did Baby Driver, which was what really, you know, did the
So that's break. Edgar Wright. It's in, if you haven't seen it, obviously he's a great director. So he saw you in Dust Till Dawn. It was a similar.
He did.
He's friends with Robert.
He's friends with Robert. Yeah, I auditioned and I did the audition process, and it was crazy. And I never thought I was gonna get it. I thought much bigger than me.
Oh, because it was such big names already.
Yeah, he was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
But I love Edgar because between Edgar and Robert, anything.
What is he like as a director? Oh my god. He seems so specific to me.
He's so clear of what he wants. It's like, I love that. He's like super type A. Like, he had clear ideas, shot by shot, beat by beat.
I bet. Oh
he
my
sent,
god.
I mean, we've talked about this multiple times in interviews about Baby Driver, but he sent us the script and the playlist at the same time, and it played while you were reading it. So it was insane. Story. So it was, we could see exactly what was going on, and it was really
cool.
It was really cool.
Oh, so he cut all of that. That makes sense. To the songs, he already knew what songs.
Yeah, it's in the script. Yeah, did. Wow. It was wild. He wrote the script based on the songs.
That is. Yeah. I gotta see. I want to see that movie again.
You've seen.
Especially
it,
now knowing you a little bit because you're so. You know,
so different.
It was strange meeting you because my perception of you, I guess, had been from that, which
I'm
is like
sure.
this real like. Badass.
Welcome to my
like,
life.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. You were saying, and then subsequently you did a lot of big action movies and like Hobbs and Shaw. And you must know when people come up like, oh, where they know you from.
Yeah, totally. I do. I mean, it's very specific audiences.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I'm so grateful of everything that I've done, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and by the way, From Dusk Till Dawn was great. I was just bad in it. But man, the last 3-4 years have been so eye-opening. And you know a bunch of my stories. And like, it really changed my perspective of like, I don't have to act like I'm happy to be here anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I can own the place that I am. And I can own wanting better stuff. And, requiring, requesting for better things for women and better things for Latin women.
With all these changes that everyone knows about, like seismic changes that are happening now, like what does that mean for a Latin actress, actor?
Oh my God. Well, I also
like, what are you hoping for?
Well, I went through the whole Me Too movement and then like Time's Up and women empowering movement. Like, it happened when I got here into now, it's like 360 for the women in the industry.
Right. It was that time.
It was that time. And I saw the dark side and I saw the light. And it's kind of like, I'm glad that I was on the other side of when it wasn't great yet, because it also makes you grateful of now how better it's gotten. But I also feel like there's miles to go for specifically Latin women. I mean, it's brutal, man. Like, you and I were talking about it the other day, that I hope that what's happening with the Black Lives Matter movement, and it creates more consciousness about minorities. And I feel like a minority that gets very overlooked, it's the Latino. Mm. And I do think the Latino women just fall into this category of like slut or hot piece or the help and drug dealer. It's like those four. And for me, it's like, when do we become
ironically,
this contemporary woman?
Yeah. Yeah. When do you play? When is it just like you're the right actress?
And that's where it becomes tricky, because when it comes to like when I read for roles that are not background specific, then you're competing with everybody. And then obviously there's different likes and different trends and different moments. And I do feel like we consistently get, maybe I'm being a downer, but I do feel like we get pushed down and like something that comes up in the running that is like a little bit more glitz and glamorous. And, but it usually never, it rarely is our turn.
It
rarely is. And I'm talking specifically Latina women.
Yeah, you would say, yeah, that makes sense now that I've seen that. I'm sure you go up for a lot of those parts, or you did go up for a lot of the parts that were like the badass, the what'd you say, I forget.
Perpetuating stereotypes.
The spicy, the sexy.
Yeah, the spicy, hard, and then especially when you break into the industry with that kind of role.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, well, that you are perpetuating. There's this all this controversy.
Right.
Between it's like, well, but am I perpetuating or do I just not work?
I want to work. I want
to work. And then what we were talking about the other day is like things have gotten very heightened to bring awareness of things. And then sometimes the pendulum swings way too far. One side went too far, the other. This is the thing. I didn't go into acting to always be Mexican. I don't want to do a DNA test. Nice. I wanted to be a princess and an astronaut in like a medieval times, whatever. So my whole point being is like, it's fine. I just think, let's just let everyone play everything. How about that? And obviously not the obvious. The obvious things like, if you're making a biopic of someone,
you're not.
You should respect.
You're
that
not playing
someone.
Andre the Giant.
Yes, exactly.
Unfortunately, great part, but
or you know what I mean. But if there is room for someone to do that, then there should be room for me to play different.
Well,
things.
That's the thing. What is that? When you're talking about the pendulum, what is that middle ground for Latino women? You said all those other stereotypes that Latin women are often cast as.
Yeah.
Is it important for you to avoid, like, make a deliberate move to like not play those parts?
I mean, yeah, it has. And then you work less, you know, because I went through a like identity crisis through a bit last few years because I was caught in between a couple of projects where like pulling from both sides, which is like, you have to be this or you're not good.
Yeah.
And the other one was like, the ultimate whitewashing. And so I was like, what is happening? Like, what is the middle ground? The arts have become so politically correct.
Yeah.
And as they should, but people that are trying to be politically correct don't know how to be politically correct. So they're creating all this chaos within the industry.
Uh-huh, because we haven't settled on the rules yet.
Yeah, because also I feel like for the audience, they just see the outcome. They don't know what's happening in the inside. And that's where I feel like it's the dark side that is still being perfected.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do, 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 shaboom.
If you run an e-commerce business, you know the amount of work it takes to produce something great.
So if you want to optimize your workflow and reduce costs, ShipStation is the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates wherever you sell online.
ShipStation's simple dashboard makes managing orders, smooth label printing, reporting, and customer service unbelievably easy.
With shipping configurations automatically applied, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online.
Plus, save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off UPS, DHL Express, and USPS rates. Over 130,000 companies have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation.
ShipStation is the innovative tool that helps turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth.
Go to ShipStation.com and use code LONG to sign up for your free 60-day trial.
That's ShipStation.com, code LONG.
Here's a weird writing tip for work. Don't. Hear me out.
You can generate your draft fast with Canva Docs.
Canva Docs have an AI text generator built in called Magic Write, which is powered by OpenAI.
You can generate any text you want for work, including meeting agendas, job descriptions, marketing plans, sales proposals, you name it.
Just start with a prompt and you'll have a draft in seconds.
And all you need to do is tweak your draft and you're done.
It's a serious time saver and the perfect way to beat the blank page.
You can even reword sentences, summarize or expand text, and so much more. One thing that sometimes stumps me is writing very basic descriptions for the podcast. And sometimes the hardest part is coming up with the very first couple sentences. Canva's Magic Write is so helpful because once it generates a few thought starters, the rest comes much, much easier. Try Canva Docs with an AI text generator built in.
Generate your draft fast with Canva Docs at canva.com, designed for work.
Hello, hello again, shaboom, and up we'll meet again.
this is something that hadn't occurred to me. We're in this podcast room is in a very white town. I live in a town in Connecticut that's very white, and I'm trying to see this town a little bit more through your lens, yeah, just being around you the last few days, and it occurred to me we were like at the beach, everyone was white,
and
you said something interesting that was but there are degrees then of looking, I mean, just superficially being, yeah, Latin, and I'm sure in Mexico you telling stories about growing up in Mexico there were more native looking, yeah, Mexican people, and so I spent time in Central America, there are hierarchies, there are always going to be these,
oh yeah,
so where do you exist in the spectrum of Latin
where it
women?
Well, that's really interesting because I am considered, depending from who is looking at me, right? Mm-hmm. I'm from Latinos, mm-hmm, to Latinos, I am a white Latina. To Americans, I'm just a Latina.
Uh-huh.
To some people, like, it just depends. Like, everyone has an opinion, and it's really weird when you're like, when we're in a world where we're like, don't be judged by the color of your skin, but you're yet being judged by the color of your skin.
Of course.
And it's like, it is really interesting. But then there is moments where, like, you know, I've seen projects where, like, they were like, we just choose the right person for the job. They said something really interesting. They, yeah, said, like, we don't see colors and we don't see. And I said, can I give you my opinion on the statement that you just said? I don't want to be disrespectful or overstepping. He's like, sure. And I was like, that is not so valid because if you're judging it based on jobs and someone that is, quote unquote, right for the job, you're basing it off of their, what you've seen, mm, of them, right?
Mm.
So if you've seen of someone, like, let's say, a white actress that has had 45 other movies because she's been allowed to play all these things, mm, and I've only had a certain amount, then obviously if I was from your side, I'd be like, she's better because I've seen her do this and this and that. But you haven't seen me. And so it's not a fair startup point because we're not starting where there's a disadvantage. There's a massive disadvantage.
Of course. And that is that's a very privileged, fancy example of the systemic oppression and marginalization that's happened in this country for, you know.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like it's controversial to talk about, like,
is,
all these rules that they're, yeah, like, set stipulating on the industry and, like, what can be submitted for awards. But I think at the end of the day, that example that I just applied applies for films, too. Like, I told you earlier today that this year no Latino was nominated for any Emmy. Zero. Mm. Nada. Nada. Mm. If you do your digging, there's incredible Latin shows. If we don't put more Latin actors leading, mm-hmm, movies, leading shows, then it's never going to be. You got to normalize it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you got to force people into doing it. And it's not getting a leg in or like whatever. What's the say? It's
a
like
leg up.
A leg,
yeah,
up. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's not a leg up. It's just giving someone that has been given the disadvantage forever to actually prove themselves. If he's not worthy, let him go.
Yeah, it's true.
You gotta allow people.
And that's gonna require time. You need people, opportunities to catch up.
Now I'm looking for stories that I can produce that'd be not even, I don't necessarily want to star in most of them. Mm-hmm. I just want to create for other actors, female directors to come in from Latin America, direct. I want to start creating opportunity because I can say for me at least, I lacked mentorship when I moved here, and
yeah,
I didn't really have any woman mentoring me at all. And I want to be able to do that for other people. And the way that the industry has designed it, and I don't blame them because the way that this industry has designed it, it makes us consistently compete with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to ask humans that are like consistently competing like against the same 2-3, 2-3, 2-3 for like for the bare minimum, you know, like for
of
the
course.
Bones. We're like thirsty. We're like hyenas. We're hangry.
Yeah.
We're hangry.
You came to this country, to Hollywood, during like the most seismic changes. How has it gotten better for Latin actresses and Latin women?
Oh, it's been good because I feel like I don't have to feel guilty to take up space. Like, I
uh-huh.
don't. Like, I feel comfortable speaking up, and people have learned I can have ideas and feel secure and sure about my ideas.
Being listened to and being heard.
Being heard,
yeah,
being heard and creating and being excited about being creative and like making unexpected turns and it's changed, you know, it really has changed. And people, that's the one thing I'll say about social media and like the internet that is beautiful. The one only thing I think is how it's crossed borders. It's allowed for people to like know that there's different worlds and that you have to appeal to different people and to really understand different audiences. Because one thing is like a review of a paper that comes to someone's office. It says these are the numbers in China or Latin America or whatever. And then a whole other thing is seeing the actual physical videos, actions, posts, like the currency that is happening in those countries. So it did change because people became way more aware of how important it is to globalize and what's being put on film.
Totally. And there's more transparency, across the board transparency, from something like this, what we're talking about, to something really grim and obviously more with higher stakes, like police brutality. And people are filming these things now. It's not like it's happening for the first time or there's like a rash of these incidents. It's just being captured.
Yeah,
it's just
absolutely
being shared. And okay, sorry, I could do that. I could talk to y'all different, but we should wrap it up. What is your most commonly used emoji?
I hate him. Emojis.
You never use them?
I do, but I you know, people that send a lot of emojis give me anxiety. My most commonly emoji is the crying laughing because I feel like it really embodies my cackle.
Yeah.
The one that is sideways, not the like normal one, but the sideways one.
Yeah, we went to a Bill Burr show, a former guest of the show.
Yeah.
And you're a lot of cackling from
He was AC. Very happy.
Okay. From you. You're a lot of cackling from
me. A lot of cackling from me.
If you could be a professional athlete, what sport would you play?
Basketball.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Lakers fan? Or is it Clippers?
No,
Clippers.
None. No. Oh. I was a Miami Heat when we had him there and then went MIA from them for a minute, and then I was a Golden State Warrior fan for a while.
Oh, because of our mutual friend. Yeah, Elsa.
Elsa.
Did you go to the games with Elsa? Or
yeah, I did. That she, because our friend Elsa's husband works for the Warriors, so we went a couple of times. Yeah, I did. It was really fun. She's great.
And by the way, shout out to Elsa, who runs an organization.
This is how we met.
This is how we met. And it's called This Is About Humanity.
Yeah.
Great organization. They do a lot of work at the border in these detention centers that are unfortunately popping up left and right.
Yep.
So we went to Tijuana there. Check them out. This Is About Humanity. And Yes We Can, which is with an amazing woman who came from L.A., created these schools from buses. Really, check it out. Yes We Can. And This Is About Humanity. Okay. And you're a Cowboys fan.
Cowboys fan.
Yeah. How are they doing this year? Oh, decent.
We had a really good game the other day.
Yes.
Hopefully. I mean, I'm putting all my, Zeke and Dak, and we hope for the best.
It's so funny. Those are such like cutesy names, but they're such like.
Zeke. You got the ball, Zeke. Oh my God. I never thought of that.
By the way, I never say that to their faces, obviously.
Never.
I'd just be like, you guys are a great game. If you could have one snack food for the rest of your life.
Ooh, that's a hard one. I'm more of like a food person. I don't like snacks. I'm not a snacky person.
Okay.
But I do love the kettle vinegar, salt,
you
whatever.
You sure do.
Love them.
Yeah, okay, that's a good one. Kettle, salt, vinegar. Okay.
I'd be so bloated, but I would eat them every day.
Yeah.
All salt.
What's your favorite movie of all time?
Wow, that's a hard
I know.
One.
Or let me rephrase, a movie that brings, you're kind of down, you want to just veg out, you want comfort, you want to be like comforted, like wrap up in a blanket and hang out with a friend.
I mean, that kind of movie, it's always The Notebook.
Oh, okay.
That's like the romantic in me, but my favorite movie.
It's a great, I know people tease The Notebook.
It's such a good movie.
It's so good.
They're both incredible. In it. The acting is so they're so captivating.
Yeah.
She is so captivating. There is something so magical about her, specifically in that movie.
She's also so good in
that audition tape for her in that movie? Oh my, I always watch it. I'm obsessed.
No.
She just radiates. Like, she has control but endearingness. And I love her. I'm in love with her.
Wow, a good audition tape is to be that. I love Steve Carell's.
The Office. Yeah. It's so good when he's laughing.
Sorry, no, in Anchorman.
Oh my God.
Watch
so
his audition
funny.
Tape for Anchorman.
Is it the one that he's laughing so hard and
yes.
he's choking?
Yes. Oh, you've seen that. Yeah.
It's my favorite.
He's eating the trash from the. Why are you laughing?
No, I love it. It's so
but
good.
But he's like, that's like cry laughing.
Red. So good. I love Steve Carell.
And me too. If you could have dinner with three people, dead or alive, whom you've never met.
That I've never met?
Yeah.
Oh.
Or that you met like very superficially and like, I really want to get to know them.
Three people.
Dead or alive.
Oh my God. This is a hard one.
I know. This is definitely not a lightning round question. We can come back to it.
Yes, how about this? Come back to that one.
If you had to live somewhere else, where would it be?
Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
Hawaii.
Oh, man, I hope you... who's your favorite Muppet?
I hated the Muppets.
Oh, really?
I don't like them. You know what?
You hated them? Yeah. I understand not watching them, but
well,
hating
them? Well, I lied. I actually lied. I fully lied. I had one job when I was 3 years old. I booked Sesame Street.
Get out of here.
I swear, and I got kicked, and I got fired.
Sesame Calais.
Street. Plaza Sesamo.
Plaza Sesamo.
Plaza Sesamo.
Plaza Sesamo.
Plaza Sesamo, and I got fired because I broke the Is this a school for ants? The
The model, the little model. Diorama.
Yeah. It was a diorama for the set, and I broke
it. Is this a school for ants?
Is this a school for ants? And then I got fired, and then from there on, I grew hating anything that was like Plaza Sesamo, Muppets. Like,
oh, no wonder. Anything. So you actually do hate them.
I hate them.
You're like Oscar Grant.
I was 3 years old, but I was already saying, fuck you.
Oh, my God.
You kicked me out of the job. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
It's so jaded by the
moment. I know already. Such a
young age. How'd you break it? You were just horsing around with it. You're three.
I was being me.
Yeah.
And broke it.
Okay, well, I'm sorry I asked that question. If you had to be one age for the rest of your life, yeah, what would it be? I mean, knowing what you know, you have your intellect.
I wouldn't want to be younger anymore. Yeah. Like, I look back, I'm like, ugh.
This is a tough question to ask you. Like, often you ask older people this, and it's like, ooh, 30 or 27. It's like,
I think...
You are that age.
I think, yeah, 20... No, 28. Okay. 28 was a great age.
If you could be reincarnated as a non-human animal, what would you want to be?
Oh, my God.
Like, what do you identify with as... Like, and when you see an animal, and you're like, oh, I feel kind of like it's my spirit animal.
A horse.
A horse.
Yeah, it'd be a horse. Like free. Mane, like flying.
You know, it's funny. There were postcards downstairs. I was going to tell you about this from a place called Cumberland Island. Have you ever heard of Cumberland Island?
Yeah.
It's off the coast of Savannah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And yes, it's the most incredible. I think it's in that book, 1,000 Places to Go Before You Die. But it's an island where all these rich people in the early 20th century had, like the Rockefellers had homes there. And then after the market crash in the 20s, they all left. They abandoned them. So there's these like old ruins of like, you know, pillars. Whoa. Beautiful. And then there's one place that they converted. They refurbished and turned into like a bed and breakfast. And you can stay there.
And there's horses.
Wild horses. Oh. There was an accident. There was a shipwreck. And these horses washed up on the... Oh. So cool. So you
so
just...
Sweet.
You would love it. You got to go Cumberland Island. Okay. Horses. Wow. It's so funny. You don't... Don't look like a horse. Would you rather be called unattractive or unfunny?
Oh, my God. 100% unattractive.
Ah, yeah.
I'd rather be funny all day.
Yeah. It's also...
Am I funny, though?
No, I'm going to let the audience decide. Yes.
I don't know. I don't think I've been really funny in this podcast. I've been very deep and serious.
Well, it's good. Yeah.
Yeah, but I consider myself funny.
You're funny. Yeah. No, you're funny.
You're funny, 100%.
I'm funny, right?
I'm funny.
Yeah, in fact, I remember that day that we hung out with This Is About Humanity.
And we played Heads Up.
We played we just laughed so much on that ride back. How long was that ride from Tijuana to LA?
2 hours.
Yeah, that was longer. It felt like...
No, 2 hours.
Did you ever watch The Golden Girls in Mexico? Do they have The Golden Girls?
No.
Oh, okay. What American sitcoms made it to Mexico?
Oh, Friends.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Did
Seinfeld?
Seinfeld fully made it.
Really?
Yeah. Cheers.
Did you? Oh, okay.
Cheers.
And who would you be on? So you watched any of those growing up?
Yeah.
Mm. Who would you be? Who would you play on Cheers, let's say?
Oh.
Guy or girl?
I don't know. Mm. I don't remember much of Cheers because my dad would watch it when I was really young.
Yeah.
Like, that I continue to watch... Wait, wasn't Leslie Jordan in Will and Grace?
Yes. Yes,
I just remembered this. I was like, wait, I've 100% seen this man who's trending on social media before.
Former Life is Short guest.
Yeah.
Let's hear your Leslie Jordan.
Well, shit. What are y'all doing? Screwing? I don't know if it's great.
It's pretty good.
What are y'all doing? I do that all the time with my friends.
You do, I know. I heard you do that the other day.
Well, shit. What are y'all doing?
I like that he adds extra syllables to what
he's
saying.
I love that.
Hello. No, I can't think of an extra syllable word. Dogs or cats, do you prefer?
Dogs.
Uh-huh. You have two great
little
dogs.
No cat lady.
Uh-huh. Wow, you're like snarling.
No.
Yeah. Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
Oh, the Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah, huh?
I know. I'm telling you, I was a little more rock girl.
Yeah, did you ever see them?
No, I didn't. And I was going to. They had that concert in California. And then they did like a reunion, didn't they?
They're always touring. I don't think they needed to do a reunion.
But they did, no, but like a, they did, what was it called? It was, actually, I think it did happen. It was like a really insane, like biggest, biggest old school rock bands did like a, and it was a random place, not like Coachella, it was like a random place in California. I don't remember, I will look it up, but I wanted to go and didn't. But yeah, I do love the Rolling Stones. I have seen the Rolling Stones live. What am I talking about? I have seen them. They went to Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did. My brother.
Chocolate candy, fruity candy, you're not a big sweets.
Chocolate, okay. Just chocolate.
Would you ever think about your legacy, how you want to be remembered? How
Ooh,
you
no,
want
that's no, so yeah. scary.
Yeah.
That is so scary to think of. Do you think that?
Especially to end a show that way. Who would do that?
Who does that, Justin?
Such a morbid... no. Legacy, no. Career-wise, no. But I think about...
Your people,
leaving
right?
the
Me
earth.
Too.
Yeah,
I think of that. I find myself a very caring friend. I do think of me as, like, ultimately caring friend. Like, I check on my friends consistently, and I'm always, like, thinking of them. Especially when they really need it. I think I'm like a resourceful friend for when it's actually required. But I would like to be thought of some friend that loves to listen and care for the loved ones that she has. Because I love my friends.
Well, and your friends seem to really love you.
I pay them to say that.
Oh, okay, wow. Yeah. So you need to get a job now to maintain to your friendships.
You were the other day, you're like, you have a lot of friends.
You have a lot of friends. Like, well, also, I have like... My friend said that, my friend Betty said, she's not very good at, this is the best phrasing, watering relationships. She has a hard time watering relationships. Oh, and that's you're good at
it. I became good at it because I wasn't good at it. And I knew that it was important because then it takes time off of being involved with yourself.
Yes.
So it allows you to be involved with others. Yeah. I think that the greatest gift I've learned is like, the more that I allow myself to be involved with others is the more I've grown in my entire life. Versus when I was like introspective and being me and learning about myself.
Of course. Yeah. So, yeah, you just, that's also boring. It's not as interesting.
Going in circles, yeah.
Well, that's why I love doing this. And that's why I've really loved getting to know you. And
I'm your friend. Time. I watered this friendship.
Yes. Oh, we've been drowning it the last couple of days.
Yes. We've had like hardcore hangouts. Yeah. We did Bilber. We've done a lot of stuff.
I love how you say his name, Bilber.
Bilber. But Wilbur, well, his name is Wilbur.
Wilfred.
Wilfred, that's
right. That's right.
Wilbur.
Yeah, I'm going to try to see Bill. He is the best. You're the best. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
It was
this
fun. Okay, and plugging. Oh, what's coming out?
What is coming out? We have a movie, Tun-tun-tun, that is probably...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I went to TIFF, did pretty well, called I Care a Lot with Rosamund Pike and Peter Dinklage and Chris Messina and the lovely Diane Weiss, directed by Jay Blakeson. Beautiful movie. You will Love probably Diaries. Have it sooner than later in your TVs.
Okay.
And then I have King Kong versus Godzilla coming out next year, which is exciting.
I just got very like, I didn't know you did that.
Oh, I am in love.
King Kong versus Godzilla?
Yes, sir.
Where'd you shoot that?
I shot in Hawaii and Australia.
Amazing.
The best. I had so much fun.
So who wins?
I can't tell you.
Okay, all right, well, you're going to have to
You have to watch it.
So you play which one? King Kong? Godzilla?
I am Godzilla. I'm the hairy one, King Kong.
Okay.
I'm the hairy one.
Wow, well, that's quite a stretch. So you are stretching. There are opportunities
really,
that are...
I'm really, like, diving into new opportunities.
Actually, here. I can see that. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I hope you like it.
And even if I don't, I'll tell you I do. Because you've paid me to be
your
friend.
Yes, I paid you.
Handsomely. All right, well, thanks,
Thank
Belle.
You. Thank you. Bye, guys.
So that happened.
That's a great
ace impression. But she rolls her.
You knew how to say that in Spanish. Now that happened. Well, that happened. Well, that
You know what? I'm gonna look. Yeah,
it was a fun listen.
Was it? It must have been because you've been around her. You had been around her. It must have been like, oh, that's my buddy, my new buddy.
I didn't know that about her dad. That's really sad that he died when she was a kid.
Oh, you hadn't heard that. Yeah. When she was, 12, at a very formative time,
right?
And she. I didn't know if she was going to speak about that because she had been telling me about that the night before, and obviously it's very personal and sensitive. And but yeah, she seems very forthcoming about a lot. She's yeah. outspoken and bueno, eso paso.
That happened.
I think well that happened is a more that's like colloquial. An English colloquial. Yeah. But if
how do you
were
say colloquial in Spanish.
Okay, hold on. All right, sir. Yeah, bueno, eso paso. See, I also my accent, my like I have no she has such a great she just speaks so it's so fun to hear her speak, isn't it?
You're so like impressed by her ability to speak Spanish.
Well, because she speaks English,
but it's her language.
I know. Oh, colloquial is just colloquial.
Colloquial.
Colloquial. But she's also her grasp of English is like that's her second language. And then I read she also speaks Italian and some French.
To me, that's really impressive.
Here's even extra impressive is the fact that she didn't mention that.
Every time she said something like a Spanish name or a Spanish phrase, you would repeat it under your breath, and it made me laugh so hard. At one point, I wrote it down. She said, I think his name is Pedro Damagna or something, and you just go, Pedro Damagna. You like it's, can't help yourself.
Yeah, it's I. What is that? What does that mean? It's like Kristen Bell has that. We talked about that. It's like a form of like accent Tourette's or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what. Not to belittle people like Tourette's.
No,
like problem.
No, that's yeah. offensive.
Yeah, sorry.
I know you're not supposed to say this anymore.
No, can't wait.
I think it's can't offensive. Wait. I think it's another one of those offensive things. But she said it about herself, so I can say it. She said she has masculine energy. And I think she does. I think she's right. Ah. And I know you're not supposed to say that because, you know, gender is a construct. And what does it mean to have masculine energy or feminine energy? If she had heard of the Golden Girls, let's say, she hadn't heard of the Golden Girls because they didn't have it when she grew up.
Uh-huh.
I would say pretty clearly she's Blanche.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
So she's bawdy. She's got a little
Dorothy, I think. I wonder where that comes from.
She's like a good time, kind of body.
Chicas de oro.
What does that mean?
Golden Girls.
I judged her. I prejudged her a little bit.
Because of her beauty?
No, because she's, you know, in movies and she's an actress. And a lot of actresses I know, you know, sometimes they have
a little precious.
A little like princess, yep, like diva behavior.
I'll tell you this.
By the way, actors too have princely diva behavior.
I was going to say, I'm not staying in $22 a night motels anymore.
Right.
I've gotten used to some fine
things. I expected her to be a little like, oh, really? The comedy show is outside on the grass. We have to like sit on the ground.
Yeah.
She was not at all precious about
she's down.
You know, her comfort or lack thereof. That was pretty cool. And she proved me wrong. I should not have prejudged her.
Yeah. You don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a really charming combination, you know. Somebody who can just
rough it a little bit.
Yeah. And I witnessed some of that when we went to Tijuana that day, and she was right in the mix with, I have to say, this is pre-COVID, so if you can remember that far back, but there was an outbreak. Some of the kids were sick with something. There was a cold at one of the stops that we made, and I remember being quite squeamish and like not wanting to get too close to some of the kids. Like, oh, I don't want to get sick. And she was right there in the mix. She was hugging. Because, by the way, all of the kids down there in Tijuana, they all – I mean, they were mostly Central Americans. They were in Tijuana, but they were mostly Hondurans and Salvadorians fleeing – they were the refugees who had been fleeing violence. And these kids – so they'd gone through a lot, and it was – I'm going to cry thinking about it. It was so beautiful to see their reaction to her and how she just put herself right in the mix of these kids. And they got so excited by her presence because she is – and she talks about that.
Big star down there.
Huge. Yeah, I had seen her in Baby Driver and was like, yeah, you know, she's on some things. But they just loved her.
Hey, let's read a letter.
Okay.
I emailed it to you because our printer's broken. Ha ha.
Ha ha.
Oh, also, first guest who hates the Muppets.
Oh, yeah, does she hate them?
Hates.
No, but then she picked one, right?
No, she hates them.
Oh, she does.
Yeah, because she got fired from...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She's like bitter against the Muppets. We've had guests who didn't know the Muppets. I don't think Wolfgang Puck knew the Muppets.
Yeah, what now?
But I've never heard of anyone...
Hating.
I didn't know it was possible to hate the Muppets.
By the way, I would think if you had just told me that about her, I would have held that against her. I would have thought, I'm not going to get along with somebody who hates the Muppets.
I know.
And I think nothing less of her. If anything, I'd like her more for admitting that.
It's like...
That's funny.
It's like hating Christmas or something. How do you hate the Muppets?
No. Well, she explains how.
I know.
Very honest about it. This is from, weird, Mark Gonzalez. Huh. Subject, love the podcast, theater relevance, and some would you rathers. Hello, this is great, all three of those things. Hello, Long Brothers. My name is Mark Gonzalez, sending you love from hazy, smoky Fresno, California. Oh, boy. I've been listening to the podcast since episode one. Thanks, Mark. And it's been a weekly staple of my weekly enjoyments. That's awesome. The banter, the humor, the quarantine realness, the everything has been a much-needed breath of fresh air, literally, for me. Oh, man. Listening to your podcast along with my own humor makes me feel like the three of us are at a bar drinking something other than light beers and shooting the shit.
Maybe Bud Light Seltzer.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's funny? That Bud Light Seltzer keeps coming up even though we don't have to do it.
We never had to do it.
That's true.
We got to do
that,
it.
That's a good
correction.
Back to Mark. I am a high school... Isn't that weird that's the Gonzalez?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a very common name.
Oh, it may
in
be.
Latin America.
Oh.
But he's writing from Fresno,
yeah.
California.
Well, a lot of former Latin American descendants.
This is true.
Former, that's redundant.
Redundant.
I am a high school theater teacher. Oh, cool. Currently in my second year, and it's been quite crazy with digital teaching, as you can imagine. Yeah, how do they do that? How do you do a play? How do you? Because you have to, like, plays aren't happening, professional plays, but, well, they are. I guess they're doing, like, Zoom stuff.
Zoom stuff.
Yeah. However, back to Mark. However, my students are in good spirits. I have the advantage of teaching from my classroom and theater. Oh, wow. So it's as good as it can be within the confines of COVID-19. Your podcast is one I often find myself telling my students about. Ah, oh, thanks, Mark. Because they love the guests you interview and the jokes are endless. Listening to the Nathan Lane episode was literally in my wheelhouse.
Hmm. I don't know.
Is there a wheel?
He must have a wheelhouse.
Yeah. What is
What's
a wheelhouse? Is that a house? Is that a...
You don't pull up to not know what a wheelhouse is?
Is that a place where you keep wheels?
I would assume.
I guess we'll find out. Ugh. Oh, boy. Those kids aren't going to laugh at that joke.
Wah, wah, wah.
That's cool that his students, some of his students maybe, or they were up until
I want to know what a wheelhouse is.
Yeah, me too. You don't both have to be curious about what a actual wheelhouse is. I had the great pleasure of seeing Nathan... Oh, okay. He's going to describe... I had the great pleasure of seeing Nathan Lane in The Nance on Broadway. It was also the show where I got to meet him and get his autograph on the jacket cover of the producer's cast recording. Oh, cool. Thus making me quite happy. I have a theater review blog, The Road to 1000. Not a sponsor. Nice. And in it, I reviewed the actor who played Ned, the role I assumed you read for. That is the role I read for. I actually read the part.
Why do you assume? Is it like the nerdy guy with
probably.
Bushy eyebrows?
Yeah, it's the part. Yeah. It's not the Asa Gonzalez part.
Right.
And in it, I reviewed the actor who played Ned, the role I assume you read for, as, quote, showing us that at least he memorized his lines. Oh, wait, that was his review of that actor?
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, that's not, and I just read it. Oh, I shouldn't have. That's, so it's not good. I can only imagine how fully realized you would have delivered that character had you played it. It may have even become an iconic performance, one might say.
Whoa.
You know, it's interesting because that's such a complimentary thing to say. Thank you, Mark.
He shit on someone else to compliment you.
Yeah, and yet I feel bad for... I hope that whoever did play that part is not listening.
And even if he is, people get bad reviews. It's okay.
I know, but I know how bad it feels to get a bad review. Mm-hmm. I have such a thin skin with that. But I... appreciate the hypothetical good review. I don't know. Now I'm curious who played that part. Okay, back to his letter. Okay, I'm sure Christian is over me boosting your ego.
Hey. Oh, I am. Whoa, good call, Mark.
So let's get to some would you rathers.
Really has been listening for
yeah,
a while.
Yeah, he knows your psychology.
Isn't it interesting
psychology?
That people listen? Like, if you listen enough,
yeah.
You could probably do a pretty good dissection of someone's personality.
Ooh, psychological profile.
Scary.
It is.
And cool. I mean, it's cool.
Scary,
like, cool, scary. It's,
yeah. Maybe you knew we were going to say that.
Mark. Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Okay, so back to the letter. Number one, would you rather speak without pronouncing vowels for the rest of your life, or every third word you say is dropped from the conversation? Huh. This includes writing and sign language.
Whoa.
Wow. So that would be, okay, it'd be too hard for me to speak without vowels. Pronouncing vowels for the rest of my life, and I'd have to get used to every third word. I would have to just add like insignificant words every third word. I would have to develop a new way of speaking. Like,
you can't do that in this hypothetical. You just have to drop the third word.
Raspberry have to.
No, see, to me.
Blueberry for the sake.
I disagree.
Okay, so this is his example. Would normally be, hello, mom, I love you. Versus, hello, mom, love you.
Well, that's different.
Because that's such a simple thing.
You get lucky, you just drop the I.
Yeah.
But, so it's, here's why I disagree.
Sound like you have peanut butter in your mouth.
Exactly. Well, here's why I disagree. Because it's annoying, and it'll be annoying to do and listen to, but you would still make sense to people. Like, it would be difficult sometimes to understand some of the words you were saying, for sure, but you could still communicate. Whereas if you dropped the third word of everything you said, you would run into some serious difficulty explaining yourself to people. People
you
would be so
really
confused by what you were saying. Like, you wouldn't be able to be clear.
I'm going to say you really would have a hard time with that. You really would have a hard time communicating.
Read a sentence that he wrote and drop the third letter of each word.
Okay. Should I read the full sentence first?
Yeah.
Okay. I had the great pleasure of seeing Nathan Lane and the Nance on Broadway. So it'd be, I had great pleasure seeing Nathan on Broadway.
See, exactly. So in this
it'd
case,
be impossible
the meaning
to
would be completely lost because you wouldn't know what he saw on Broadway.
Well, then wouldn't you just, couldn't you, in this hypothetical, add, like, I had, you add, like,
you can't add stuff. That's the whole point. You just have to drop third. Mm. I would definitely lose the vowels.
I guess so. I guess you're right. And people would just have to get used to, like Asa would have to know that when you say gnzls, you're saying her name.
Right.
Yeah. If you were saying to Asa, I love you.
Love ye.
How would you say, will you marry me?
Will ye. Murray.
Yeah, the irony is you sound like a Muppet and she'd probably be turned off.
It's not the only reason she'd be turned off.
That's a really good point. Okay. Good one. I mean, scary. Well, that really triggered me.
Yeah. You got really upset.
Yeah. I don't like that. Okay, number two. Would you rather kick a soccer ball with a toothpick between your big toe and the big toenail of the foot kicking with.
Oh, I just got shivers
all over my body. Oh, Jesus, Mark, these are crazy. Or biting down on a nail file. Oh, boy. And having it ripped from your mouth.
B. Nail file. I'd rather do that. As awful as that sounds.
This occurrence happens once a month for the rest of your life.
I'm sweating.
You are. You're flushed. You look like you have. You look like you ate shellfish. Christian breaks out in hot, like, splotches on his face. We call it shellfish face.
Okay.
Now Mark's going to know that about you, too.
Well, Mark is also about to find out that I have a real problem with, like, nail.
You know what's crazy?
Clipping your nails too short and that feeling of pinching your. It's making me sweat.
Oh, my God. You're
thinking
having
about
a real.
I've always had
reaction.
An issue with nails and, like.
You do.
And that feeling underneath the nails.
Whenever,
so the idea of a toothpick going in there. That's a nightmare to me. Can we stop talking about it?
But I can't.
Is there another one?
I can't believe we haven't talked about this. Is that you don't, like. Christian hates this.
Ah!
I'm rubbing my hands together like a cartoon villain. Or like, and Christian, I can't believe we've never talked about that.
It's like worse than nails on a chalkboard to me.
It's like,
I'm sweating.
You are. You.
Is that all of them?
It's also a little hot in here. There's one more. Can you wait? I can't wait. This is great. Number three, have to wear shoes on the wrong foot for the rest of your life. Same rule for flip-flops, Crocs, boots,
and footwear.
Crocs. You knew to add Crocs.
Yeah.
Or never have sunglasses on a sunny day.
Easy.
I lose
the sunglasses.
Yeah.
I'm not a big sunglasses guy.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't really like seeing the world through sunglasses.
Especially now that we're wearing masks everywhere, because I feel like I look like the Invisible Man with a pair of sunglasses and that big, because I've been wearing, you know, obviously we wear masks.
I would ditch the sunglasses. In fact, that's easy. For me, it's like.
Me too.
I would lose sunglasses if I got to keep, like, Skittles or something. I'm really not into sunglasses.
Oh, really? Skittles
or
sunglasses?
Yeah, I could really take them or leave them.
I would rather have sunglasses than Skittles. I haven't used Skittles. I haven't found value in Skittles, I would say, in the last 6 months, whereas I've worn
sunglasses. Funny, did I tell you this the other day? I was driving around and
I miss Skittles.
I had a hankering for Skittles, so I stopped off at a CVS and I bought a. I haven't done this in years. I haven't had Skittles in a long time.
Oh my god, you!
But I love Skittles.
If you weren't just different than Asa Gonzalez, you really went over the top.
So I went to CVS because I had this overwhelming urge to have Skittles, and I went there just to buy a bag of Skittles. Yeah, and I ate them all in the car. And
what?
Yeah, I felt like menopausal or something. I never have cravings like that for things.
Yeah, what are you craving?
Isn't that weird?
And did you eat them all in one sitting?
Yeah.
You finished the bag. How big a bag did you get?
A normal bag.
Well, that's also weird.
But you know, here's the problem with Skittles now. The green is no longer lemon lime.
I prefer it.
Rather.
I prefer the apple.
Oh, you're wrong. No. Wrong.
No. Here's why. We've had this discussion.
It throws off the whole.
Discussion. It's, you know what it is?
It throws off the whole balance.
Not to me. Because
the lime complemented the other flavors so much better. The green apple sticks out like a sore thumb.
Here's my argument for green apple.
You have such an unrefined palate. I don't take you seriously.
You know, can we get some letters about this? Please write in lifeisshort@wondering.com and weigh in on this very controversial topic. Here's my argument. The lime was too close to the lemon.
Wrong.
It was.
Here's the
argument.
It wasn't
that different than lemon.
Of course it is.
Combine them. Give me a lemon lime, but don't give me a lemon and a lime.
Why do you think there are so many lemon lime flavored things?
Because exactly. They combine them.
No, they complement each other well, but they're not the same flavor.
They're in the same ballpark. They're in the same neighborhood. They're in the same neighborhood.
No.
Way too close. They should be living together. That's why they combine them. That's why Sprite and Slice and Mountain Dew, all those flavors.
Plenty of things are combined because they're complementary, not because they're similar. Oil and vinegar are combined.
You don't get grape strawberry.
Oil and vinegar are combined. Banana strawberry is combined. They're very different.
It shouldn't be. Those are two different.
What are you talking about? Skittles, banana strawberry go together like peas and carrots. Peas and carrots are combined.
Yeah, but you wouldn't combine them into a single thing, into a single flavor.
Sure you would, like a medley.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about Skittles, is that you can do those combinations on your own. That's what I like about it.
You can curate your own combination.
Exactly.
Right, which is why if you take green apple or lime, just like one-on-one, I can see the argument for the green apple. I wouldn't agree with it, but for the full, if you just grab a handful of Skittles,
then I just realized something.
I think the green apple throws off the balance of a handful of Skittles.
Well, here's what we're discovering. Here's the truth. We eat Skittles differently.
Right.
You
go flavor by flavor?
Yes. Yeah. I like flavor by flavor.
What are you, 7 years old?
Yeah.
Flavor by flavor. Do you lay them all out and put them in different little piles?
No, but I do. I like to, because I like to save best for last, especially with like any sort of meal. I'll do that. Like if I get.
I agree with that.
Like a three. You don't both have to save the best for last in a meal. in the three, we've been eating the sushi. Great. By the way, shout out to Shikihana in Fairfield, Connecticut. Great sushi place. And, and I'll get a California roll, a salmon roll, and a yellowtail.
You save your last bite with your favorite.
I just imagine like Asa and her friends were like listening to this episode because she's on it, and they've like definitely turned it off by now. By the way, what's your order? I mean, I think I know. Wait, let me guess your order.
Wait, in the new order of green apples is the green?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going individual?
Let's go number one, best to least, okay?
You mean least to best? What you eat first.
Yeah, okay, fine. Least to best. Wait. All right. On the count of three.
Why do we think? Do the count of three?
I don't know.
You trust me.
All right, you're right.
All right, my first that I'm eating is lemon.
Me too, yeah.
And then I'm going...
You don't both have to think lemon is the worst Skittles flavor.
And then I'm going to go green apple. And then I'll go orange.
Okay, I go orange.
And then
second.
I'll go grape. And then I'll finish with strawberry.
That red's the best. I knew that, but it's still amazing.
What grape's your favorite?
Yes.
I like grape a lot, but I prefer red.
Really?
Yeah, by a little bit.
Wow. Okay.
I think they're close, but I prefer red.
I'm gonna go yellow, now orange. Used to be yellow green.
But you like the green apple.
I like the green apple.
Well,
and then I'll go green and then red.
All right, this is riveting. Is that the end of the letter?
No, he says, thanks for the good work, guys, and I can't wait for the next episode. Stay safe. Sincerely, Mark Gonzalez. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark. That's really nice.
Really nice. And
Wow, some good Would You Rather, some triggering Would You Rather. Yeah. Scott, you're still like a little flush. Broken out.
So thank you to Mark, and thank you to the very cool
The best.
Asa Gonzalez. Gracias, and if you guys would like to write in, Justin said it earlier, but I will repeat it. The email address is lifeisshort@wondery.com. And we really appreciate all of you listening. And we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, gracias.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
Life is Short is hosted by me, Justin Long. It is produced and co-hosted.
Co-hosted by Christian Long and Megan Monaco.
Senior producer is Michelle
Meesh.
Lands. Audio engineer is
Sergio Enriquez.
It's executive produced by two men.
Two men. Named.
Name of.
Marshall Louis.
And Hernan Lopez.
For Wondery.
Since looks are fleeting.
Yeah, and some really nice ones, because Dame is saying, oh, look
how... I think in the box there's some pictures of
beautiful grandma was, and blah, blah, blah.
So... And you'll see my high school graduation dress that I designed.
Really?
The lady next door made it for me.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
What... Do you like it? Is it pretty?
And I lent it to Lou when there was a contest at the RKO Palace.
And like a cross-dressing?
Jean Harlow was there.
No, Lou was a
cross-dressing. Oh. Lou was going to Hollywood with Jean Harlow. She didn't have a dress to wear.
Aww.
So she said, could I borrow you? Sure. So we fixed it. She had a smaller waist than I did. But we fixed her up.
That's so great.
She didn't win.
She didn't go? She didn't win. The contest.
Wait, so the contest was whoever won but got to go to Hollywood?
Something like that, yeah.
And we all got on the streetcar to go down to the RKO Palace.
Now that's a good story.
That is a good story.
That's a good story.
And we were 17, 18 years old.
The streetcar.
Wow, the streetcar, wow.
In Rochester, there was a streetcar?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Once upon a beat! Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the new kids and family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.